Mark chapter 16 this morning. Mark chapter 16 and John chapter 16, if you'll turn to those two places. Mark 16, John 16. Going to read a little bit in both of those, but we're going to stay in Mark. So once we get through reading, just stay in Mark and keep your Bibles there, because that's where we're going to look back to. Going to begin reading in Mark first, then go to John, then come back to Mark, like we said. Verse 14, chapter 16 of Mark. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, keep your finger there. We're going to come back. Look, if you would, in John chapter 16. Jesus speaking in verse 7 says this, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me again. A little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Turn back, if you would, to Mark chapter 16. Now, this is at the end of Christ's life here upon the earth. Now remember where he has been. Not only was he born the Son of God into this world, but after he was born in this world, he walked, and when he began his ministry, he walked. Of course, he faced the opposition of the religious leaders. He called out those disciples and apostles to follow him, to make them fishers of men. And then he began to do all kinds of miracles. He began to cast out devils, heal the sick, the lame, the blind, raise the dead, do all types of miracles, begin to teach. You saw him in mountaintops praying, valleys, on the sea, and you saw him in the deserts, in the wilderness, being tempted of the devil. You saw him several places upon the earth. Then you seen him leave and go to the cross of Calvary, to die upon the cross of Calvary. there to die and be buried in the tomb, and after 3 days to rise again. Now he is risen here, and let me say this, just in passing, not what I'm going to preach on, but in Mark chapter 16, several doctrines have been gotten from this portion of Scripture. Dangerous doctrines. One is, when you look, true in verse 15, he gives commission to the 11. That was there. Remember, Judas was dead and gone, but he gives a commission to the 11. He goes to preach the gospel to every creature. And they have taken this, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth believeth not shall be damned. So therefore there are some people that has incorporated the doctrine that you must be baptized to be saved from the scripture. And from Acts chapter 2 verse 38, that's not what he's teaching. Not only that, but also there are some that went on down in verse 17. And they have elevated several gifts that was given to the apostles to cast out devils. Speaking in new tongues. Now the speaking in new tongues have been, we're going to be teaching this in Sunday school class and looking. But it was be able to go in places that you didn't know languages and preach. And people be able to hear you. When Peter preached and was given the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost, he preached and there was 14 dialects there listening. Every one of them heard in their own native tongue. That's the gift of tongues. That's the gift that the Holy Spirit uses to preach the gospel to every creature. Because those men, those apostles that was sent out, Paul said he used it more than anybody else. You know why? He went into all the world preaching the gospel. He didn't know all the languages of all the world where he went. But he had the gift of tongues where he went and preached. And when he would preach, they would hear in their native tongue. And be able to respond to the gospel. By the gift and miracle of the Holy Ghost of God upon him and his life. Then there are some that has taken this verse and scripture and they believe and they elevate themselves above everybody else because in their church they bring out serpents and they handle serpents. One thing you get taught and when you're in EMS, snake bites and deaths from snake bites are not real numerous in the United States. But the most people that die from snake bites are those that handle snakes in religious services. Reason why is they put them around their face. Now they have a habit of keeping them cold, trying to keep them docile a little bit when they're working with them. But when they warm up, many of them gets bit. And of course, a while back they had a TV show on that. And the guy who was starring it from over toward Middlesboro, Kentucky, died when he was bitten. The point is, they have made a doctrine of handling snakes. That's not what God's talking about. Amen. What he's talking about here, he's talking about what the apostles, these 11 and plus Paul, the apostle out of due season, what they're going to face. What happened to Paul? One day he stuck his hand in a woodpile and a venomous snake bit him. He brought it out. Snake still hanging on his arm. Shook it off. Didn't even bother him. Didn't swell up nothing. These people claiming to have this gift, they don't have like Paul. I've seen some that got bit. Their hand that thick. They may not have died, but their hand swelled up. The apostles had the ability to face things like that as signs until the scriptures was fulfilled. When the New Testament was written, we do not believe in God by signs. We believe by faith. Signs were given in commission to these people. Now, didn't mean to get off on all that, but I just want to throw that in because of all the numerous doctrines. There are some places that they believe in drinking cyanide because of this scripture. When you do that, you're tempting God. God doesn't want us to bring a bunch of rattlesnakes in here and bring them out in a service and dance around and tempt him, run them around our faces. That's not what this scripture is teaching at all. It's teaching the things that the apostles would face when they go out as they preach the gospel to every creature. But these would be signs that God would give them. They would be able to cast out devils. They'd be able to heal the sick and raise the dead. You don't have people like Paul around today. Somebody fall over dead out of the window, like the boy fell three stories down and fell on the ground and died. Paul went over and healed him and revived him and he come back to life. You don't have people like Peter that was an apostle and he walked and the shadow of Peter was able to have people healed. Amen. You don't have those people here today. You have some that claims to be that way, but they're not. Those were given specifically to the apostles until we got this thing written, because they had to believe that those men were sent of God. And when they went into the world preaching the gospel to every creature, they had to see something in them to convince them. And the Holy Ghost of God worked through those men. Amen. To get the gospel preached to the whole world. And Paul said that he completed the whole world. Somebody said, well, how about these places that haven't heard the gospel? Well, the Bible says they have. And over a period of time, they've rejected it. But anyway, getting back, let's look. That's actually not what I'm preaching. But notice that after this, in verse 19 is where I'm going to preach. After the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. How important was it that Jesus went back to heaven? He went back to heaven for several reasons. One is, when you look, and remember that the scripture here doesn't deal with the 40 days he walked on the earth and taught after he was resurrected. It don't deal with those type of things. It don't even deal with the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. But remember over in John chapter 16, Jesus said it was imperative that he go, that the Comforter would be sent back. And the Comforter was the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so now, when you look at this, then you realize a couple things. When you see the ascension of Jesus going up in heaven, it makes clear several things. One is the first purpose he came to, the time when he come first of all to the earth, was not to establish his throne at that time. You know, the apostles thought that he was there to establish a kingdom, but that was not his purpose. And so what they did was they looked to him to establish their kingdom. Therefore, they were rejected when he went to the cross of Calvary. What the ascension of Jesus and going back to heaven indicates and declares unto us, that was not the purpose why he came. The next time when he comes will be the purpose to establish his kingdom. This time when he came was to save sinners. The only purpose he came was to make a way that sinners might be saved. And so when you look at the ascension of Jesus and the fact that he left the earth and went back, it indicated the purpose he came the first time was not to establish his kingdom. And therefore, if the Jews had received him, but he came unto his own received him not. Therefore, when John preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and they rejected him. Jesus preached the same thing. The disciples preached the same things. And when they rejected, one day Jesus stood up and said, Israel, your house is desolate. And he gave the kingdom, and what he did was, he established for us that are Gentiles the ability to be able to come into this thing called the church. And Jew and Gentile alike could be saved and brought into the family of God. And so therefore, his purpose was clear, to save sinners. Not only that, but also the fact that he had to ascend for the Holy Ghost to descend. Now remember, wherever Jesus was at, when he would come into a place, they would gather in great crowds. But Jesus could not get to the whole world bodily present in this world. The Holy Ghost is everywhere in everybody that's saved, all at the same time. He was sent, and everywhere that the gospel is being preached, the Holy Ghost is there saying, come. Drawing people, convicting them of sin, convicting them, showing them who Jesus is, and drawing and telling them about Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing everywhere. And Jesus says, it's expedient that I should go, that the Father send him. And when he comes, he will not speak of himself, he will speak of me. And these places that glorify the Holy Spirit doesn't understand. The Holy Spirit didn't come to be glorified. He come to teach everybody and point everybody to Jesus, that they believe in Jesus. And so the whole purpose of Jesus leaving is that he would be more prominent around and his presence would be everywhere in the world, because the Holy Ghost can be everywhere at one time. And everywhere we go, we have now the Holy Ghost of God with us. And when we have the Holy Ghost, we have the presence of Jesus. And with the word comforter means that the Holy Ghost gives us Jesus' presence when we can't reach out and touch his body like this, Linda. The Holy Ghost is inside of us, letting know Jesus is there. So we see and we feel, and we're in the presence of Jesus by the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, boy, I feel the Lord. That's the Holy Ghost letting you feel Jesus' presence. But Jesus is up there, but he had to go up there with his body to be able to send the Holy Ghost down here, that we could all enjoy the presence of Jesus. Whether we're here in China or Russia, wherever we are in the world, we can all feel him at one time, continually. Not only that, but also the purpose of the ascension of Jesus was that we would understand that the Trinity of God works all in unison. God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus came and gave his life. The Son of God come down here to die for us. He ascended back up, and the Holy Ghost is now sent unto us to tell us and lead us and point us to Jesus. God the Father has given God the Son a name above all names, and therefore when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to show you about Jesus because of what Jesus came to do. And the fact that he came here and he died and he went back up to heaven, the fact is that we understand the plan of God more visibly now. And therefore, he sent us that we, as many as will come, whosoever will, let him come. He wants us all to be saved. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. What he read this morning. That's the whole purpose and plan of God. God don't want you to die and go to hell. That's why this whole thing happened. And when we see the ascension of Jesus, we realize that that is a fact. And the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, is all working for one purpose. That see you saved. Not only that, but also the fact that the payment would be complete. You see, when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he said it's finished because he died as a lamb. He offered himself a sacrifice. But to complete it, he had to take the blood up and do, like we preached the other night about Mary Magdalene, he had to take the blood up there and put on the mercy seat. Because when God sees the blood, he passes over us. If you're saved and you're justified in God's eyes, it's not because you're living so perfectly. It's because he's looking at you through the blood of Jesus. And in looking at you through Jesus, he sees Jesus' righteousness, not your own. You say, I don't understand that. You don't have to understand it. You just have to believe it, because that's what the Bible says. And so when Jesus ascended, he went up there to take his blood. If he'd stayed down here the whole time, his blood never would have got up there. And all these things of the Old Testament, the mercy seat and all those things that he commanded Moses to build, was patterned off things in heaven. And so therefore, when God looks at us and has mercy, he looks down through the mercy seat, and the mercy seat must have the blood sprinkled on it. Without the blood,
there is no remission of sins. And so the blood had to be. So Jesus went up there to heaven. Not only that, but also he is the one in heaven, and he went up there because he is glorified. When everybody looks, no one has a power. No one has a presence. No one has a recognition in heaven like one. John said, I looked and I wept when I saw the book in his hand, in God's hand, because no man was able to open it. He said, then I beheld. There was a lamb, as if he was slain from the foundation of the world. And he only was worthy. Worthy is a lamb. And when you get to heaven, listen, there's only one we're all going to look upon. Not mom and dad and all those that's gone. I was talking about dad earlier. But when I get to heaven, my thoughts are not going to be upon Jesus or on God or dad. It's going to be upon Jesus. He's going to bear the prince in his hands. And he went up there. And he sat down on the right hand of the Father. Not only that, but also, when you look at him, when he went up there and he sat down at the Father, he'd come down, and he went, and he died, and he went down into the heart of the earth. And when he ascended, what he told us was this: I now have the keys to death. You don't have to die, because I've conquered it. You'll fall asleep. Your body will fall asleep and go to a grave, but your soul will be up in heaven in the presence of the Lord. You don't have to fear Satan. I've conquered him. You don't have to fear death and hell. I've conquered it. So when Jesus ascended, he let each of those of us who believe upon him know and have confidence that death does not have nothing for us but a little sting. And after we pass through that, we will be in the presence of the Lord. You say, well, I just don't understand. I'm just afraid of all this, and I'm afraid of sin. All Jesus conquered it all. And when he ascended up in heaven, that's a part of the message that he was sending to us. He is resurrected, he has conquered it, and he's went up there to sit down at the right hand of the Father because he's completed it. Not only that, but also the fact that he has left and he has gone up there to be our advocate. He speaks on our behalf. He sits up there at the Father, and when we come to God, when we pray, we have an advocate with the Father. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a mediator between man and God. We have someone we can reach God through. And so forth. And so we got to understand, when he went up there, he went up there to continue his work. We are still working with him. He is up there. He's working with us. Not only that, but also think about this. We have one that we worship now. You don't pray without praying through Jesus. You don't worship God without coming through Jesus. And see, the fact that Jesus ascended. Now, they claim that Muhammad on the Dome of the Rock, that he left with his steed and on the horse, and there's an imprint in the rock, and that's where he bounced off and went up to heaven. Baloney. There's only one we worship. When Jesus ascended, the angels told the men that were standing there gazing, said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? The same Jesus you see ascend shall descend in like manner. And so therefore, what we find is that when he ascended up there, there is one to be worshipped. Therefore, we can declare Islam a false religion. You know why? They don't worship Jesus. We can proclaim a Buddhism a false religion. You know why? Jesus is not worshipped. You cannot come to Father but through him. You cannot pray to God except through Jesus' name. Everything is done through Jesus, because when he ascended up in heaven, we have one that we worship now. Not only that, but he's also gone up there to complete. Complete. What he's going to do for us. He has gone to prepare a place for us. And if he's gone to prepare a place for us, he's coming again to receive us unto ourselves. So what I want you to understand is this. When Jesus ascended, and we talk about Jesus ascending up, let's not just say it in a breath, but let's realize how important it was that Jesus went up. And when Jesus went up, all these things become available to us. And now we don't know when he's coming back, but we know this. When he comes back, that city that we read about in Revelation 21, 22 is going to be complete. Right now, somebody says, oh, my wife is walking on streets of gold. No, she's not. Oh, my husband's walking on streets of gold. No, he's not. It's not completed yet. They're sitting up there, and they're underneath the altar, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting until Jesus is completed and got the city completed. Then he's coming back. Then when he comes back, there will be a wedding. And when that wedding takes place, we will come back with him and reign upon this earth. Then when this earth when we reign here for 1,000 years upon this earth, then this earth will be destroyed by fervent heat, and there will be a new heaven, new earth. And then when we see the new heaven, new earth, then we will see the holy city is descending down with streets of gold and gates of pearl. But until that time, nobody's in the streets of gold and gates of pearl. It's not yet, but it's coming. They are in the third heaven around the throne of God. They are waiting like we are. And when Jesus comes back, those that have died in the Lord, he'll bring with him. And we'll be called up to meet him in the air. And then we will go through those processes. And so therefore, when we get together, we need to understand. But look back in your Bible, and I'll close with this. In verse 19, it says, so then after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. And he sat down at the right hand of God, took his authority. And they went forth and preached what? Everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And so these people went out preaching the gospel. What are we supposed to be doing? We are still in the same process. We're preaching the word. We're confirming it. And what we do is, now the Holy Ghost, what we do is we preach the word. And through the preaching of the word, the Holy Ghost takes the word, convicts hearts, draw hearts, and brings them to Jesus. We don't stand up here working miracles that people believe. We now just preach the word. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For by faith are you saved, by grace are you saved through faith. Not all yourself is a gift of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. And so therefore, what we do is we preach, and through preaching, the people believe and have faith, and the Holy Ghost of God convicts them and leads them and guides them and shows them Jesus and draws them. And when they feel drawn, then they come. And so we are carrying on and the Lord working with us. And so the Lord works with us. When he is exalted and we are preaching his word and we're preaching his God, then he works with us. And we continue to work until he calls us home or until he comes back. But when we see the ascension of Jesus, all these things we need to remember. Because that was one of the greatest events that's ever happened. And it reminds us we are just waiting. When he's ready, he's got it done, he's coming back. And we'll go be with him, amen. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. And maybe this morning the Holy Spirit of God has dealt with your heart.